You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. In addition to our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy, we also have lots of free resources for you across all kind of different topics within that academy. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and find the academy and much more for you to become an effective statistician. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video-on-demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. And today I'm super happy to have Aziza and Klaus here. And I know Aziza already for quite some time, and she connected me also to Klaus. And a couple of months ago, recording this actually more at the end of the summer, and we had a discussion before the summer, we had a very good discussion about the impact statisticians can have. And Aziza learned a lot from Klaus, and Klaus learned a lot from Aziza. And so I think there's lots of beautiful insights into the discussion and lots of great learnings for you as a listener to The Effective Statistician. But before we dive into the content, let me first introduce you to my two guests today. And ladies first, Aziza. Maybe you can speak shortly about your background and where you're now working.
Yes, thank you very much, Alexander. It's really nice to be here in my favorite podcast. And it's really great to have this episode with my former manager, Klaus. And we will be talking about him later. But yes, I am Aziza and I am a statistician, and I became a statistician because of Klaus. And it's really a pleasure to share my experience. And I am working at the moment as a senior statistician in the non-clinical world of the pharma business. And I am responsible to support development team in the animal health business with statistical consulting, design of experiments, and everything you can, every concept that you can use and extract insights from the data. And I am enjoying this world. Pharma is a very, very beautiful world, in my opinion, because one learns a lot about the healthcare and about our bodies, about how to stay healthy and how to contribute to healthcare. It's really nice. And so this is my experience in development team as a statistician. And before I joined Boehringer Ingelheim, so now I'm with Boehringer Ingelheim. And before I was at Corning Incorporated, and it was Corning Environmental Technologies business. And I was a plant statistician there and reporting to Klaus, my manager there, and which I'm very grateful for. And I was there also in the role of consulting, statistical consulting, and was involved in a lot of projects, and was also supporting Klaus with promoting Six Sigma methodologies there, and has gained a lot of experiences there with Klaus. I come from the manufacturing world, and now I'm gaining my experience in the development world.
Thanks so much, Aziza. And yes, it's always a pleasure to have listeners of the podcast as actual guests on the podcast. Let's turn it over to Klaus. So you already got introduced as a manager at Corning. How long are you at Corning?
Oh, it's difficult to say, but it's 34 years now. Very close to that in September. And I'm a statistician by education. So I studied at the University of Dortmund in the 80s and got my degree as a diploma there and got hired by a former one who studied there early 1990s and got into being a statistician as a manufacturing plant. And yeah, that was something special. I didn't realize that I want to stay there for a long period of time. It was an understanding or an experience at that point. Our manufacturing facility at that point and still is a ceramics technical company, which makes products for the automotive business. The thing which hooked me to the place, a great deal was as plant statisticians that I was in the beginning, we were dealing with data that we saw directly where they occurred because the manufacturing floor is on 20, 30 meters away from my office. All the time when we have data excelled, I could try to look at all the data get manufactured in the daily shifts business. And that was fascinating to me at that point of time. I stayed there. Corning is a technical company, an American technical company, which has a lot of good products in the area of glass and ceramics. Some of you may know about Gorilla Glass, which is one of the famous products and well-known products of Corning, not manufactured in the place where I stay. But anyhow, it's a technical-oriented company. And one other thing which put me there also was there were statisticians in the States together with the one who hired Lini Travis Walton. So there was, in this American-based company, there was this tradition to have statistics being important and data being required. And I was introduced and mentored by a statistician there who made me aware you have to go through the data, you have to get your hands a little bit dirty. Also, sometimes things like that. That was interesting in the early time frames. And then somehow it took me that I stayed here forever. And I probably will conclude my career at the same plant. In the years after 2000, our plant got a chance to expand. And that was then in, I think it was 2015 or something like that. Azila, you may remind me, or 2018. I don't completely remember. We got the chance to expand my little department, and I could hire Aziza as a third member of our little group.
It was 2017.
2017, yeah. Long time ago. So Aziza joined my team. I have one other technician reported to me, Manfred. And it was on a time frame where when we grew a lot with a new business part, and that made us aware we need more resources. And that for me was a great learning experience because getting somebody new into statistics was something new to me. I was applying my statistical tool and was happy about that. But now when Aziza joined us, we need only to clarify how to proceed there. And Aziza was very successful and I was successful having Aziza for me. That was a great thing. Then when Aziza got the chance to go to a brewery airline, we hired a successor of her, Teresa, who is now with us for nearly 3 years. And I'm very glad to see Ratchin with her skills, which are different to Aziza's, also really makes a great progress of learning. So it's nice for me to have people like Aziza or Teresa coming from education, from a university with a lot of dedication to learn, becoming that interested in statistics. So I think that's when Aziza says, I made her a statistician. I think it was her third, making her a statistician with the dedication, the openness to learn something interesting, and statistics can be interesting.
I love what you're saying. Yeah, I think our job offers us so many opportunities to learn. And if we stay eager to learn and hungry to investigate further, that's a great opportunity to grow. Let me dive a little bit deeper into this learning experience, because I think that is something that every supervisor that's currently listening here and every person that has a supervisor, most of you probably have, unless you're self-employed, then your clients are probably your supervisors, but they're not usually as good supervisors as a real supervisor. But see, so Aziz, what have you learned from Klaus as a supervisor?
Yeah, so he's a supervisor and he's more than just a name. Klaus is my inspiring manager and inspiring person, mentor, and the driving force behind my career, as I always mention. And he is actually the one who helped me to find out my passion. And my passion is statistics, is the world of statistics. He was the one who introduced me my dream job. And I remember the first day at Corning, I was so nervous. I didn't know about anything about the job, about what I will be expected. And I didn't know what my cost will be. And I, from the time I had an interview, I was buying some books and trying to learn a lot of things about statistics, because I'm not specialized in statistics, but I have a degree from master's in mathematics. I studied mathematics and I didn't have any specialty. I don't have statistics specialty, and I was nervous. My first day was February 2nd, 2017. And I remember being greeted by a gentleman who warmly welcomed me at Corning and guided me through a labyrinth type of corridor and showed my workspace. And he introduced me to our friendly colleague and took time to discuss my learnings from the time I've been interviewed, because I wanted to show what I learned. And I was, because I didn't know what I will be expected to do, and I tried to tell a little bit about what I studied during the time that I had, and which the concepts that include Six Sigma and statistics and some data visualizations. And yeah, and it was the first time, and I didn't know, but Klaus was so gentle, and he introduced me, he took time to explain me everything, and he had a lot of patience with me in just taking a baby and make the baby walk, I remember. And this was like my dream place to be for me, who has no experience in industry and always was at university and studying, and this whole pure theoretical concepts that I've been taught and the exams. It was, for me, it was different world. And he showed me the world of industry and the world of statistics and basically step by step. And I worked at Corning for 5 years. And during the 5 years, I never felt treated unfairly. I was always sure, confident in everything what I was doing, because Klaus was always supporting me as a good manager. And someday I even wrote an article on LinkedIn. Maybe you also read about it. I was so inspired by Klaus. It was like, I think it was my fifth year in his department, and I was sitting and thinking about Klaus, how much this person is inspiring and how much he puts efforts in really teaching, and all his contributions to the industry and in applying statistics and really contributing to his job, and all his education was so inspiring. And I just wrote about an article about him. And so what makes Klaus special? Klaus has a very special way of respecting people, in my opinion. And he's very gentle, and I remember he took times to really go through theoretical concepts, and I would learn some concepts of statistics and come and discuss them with him. And it was a dedicated 1 hour learning session. And I remember I found some courses online, and because I didn't have any statistical background, so I had to speed up with some of the concepts. And I used to come and sit, and Klaus used to take time for me. He was one of the most busy people in our organization, but he took time. And I think this shared passion for learning is what made us a great team. And after working for the industry, I even saw that he went back for a long time. He went back to study at university, and he was doing a data science program, which was very inspiring for me. And so he was the manager who was also ready to get out of the comfort zone and change the dynamic and try to be always updated and help others. More than that, he is a very humble person, and one of his personal characteristics that I liked most, he's very authentic, and he's dedicated and sincerely cares about the company. And sometimes he works nonstop and forgets even to drink during the meetings. And then during the meetings, he realizes that he needs some water. And he says to the colleagues, "Oh, I think I have to drink a drop of water before I continue." So that's something that I always saw in him when he's in meetings. His days are all full with meetings, and he's so dedicated and really takes time. And I saw a lot of care from his side and dedication to the company. And Klaus was a manager who never lets you down, who he also introduced me to different teams. And he used to say, hey, colleagues, please meet Aziza. And I remember it was at the beginning of my career at Coring, and he introduced me to different teams and said, please meet Aziza. And if you find any interesting projects or interesting activities, consider her. She doesn't have to be the second Klaus. And I used to call myself sometimes Mini Klaus, because it was for me. I used to like to call myself Mini Klaus because it was for me a dream to become like him. Maybe I didn't become the Mini Klaus, but I everything what I learned from him is guiding me throughout my career, even my personal life. And he taught me not only to grow as a professional, but also as a person. And I do believe when one has a good manager who makes you think about certain scenarios and in a very holistic way, I think one can learn a lot. And I still apply those methods that Klaus taught me in my career, and that helps me.
Awesome, Aziza. A lot of raving about lots of very good aspects. I think that if you're now listening as a supervisor, I think there's a lot of gold in what Aziza just thought and said about what a good manager looks like. So I would encourage you as a listener to just scroll back and think about all the learnings from what Aziza just mentioned. Being helpful, taking time, introducing you to others, help with the learning, always back people up, have a people mindset, always understand how you create value for the company, and so much more. There's one thing that he mentions that I would like to have a little bit of a double click on, because it's buzzword, and then I'll hand over to Klaus to respond.
Yeah.
You mentioned Klaus is authentic. And I would love to know, can you tell maybe a story where that authenticity comes through?
Yeah, so authenticity, being authentic, Klaus, right, and in many different scenarios and moments, and knowing his personality, I absolutely can say Klaus is a very authentic person. So being authentic for me means that you always try to be honest, try to tell the truth, and try to, as a statistician, we can create our own stories, and which can be really dangerous, we know. And what makes our work, I think, is more valuable, or our performance as a statistician valuable, is when we are authentic. And being authentic means when you are delivering results, then you tell what are the different outcomes of these results. To me, it means that, okay, I'm delivering you some results, but be aware of this. In the case of Klaus, I saw him in many meetings when he was mentioning, marking, yes, we can do that, but please take into account that this could happen. This is the risk. And he was standing up in the meeting and saying it loud, without any fear. And he wasn't, none of the leadership levels were stopping him to stand up and say what he thinks as a statistician. And to me, it means that he is honest with his job and he is authentic. And I would, if I was a leader of the company, then I would really value that properties of statistician.
Love it. Yeah, I think lots of statisticians can relate to that, that it needs that you speak about what the data really says and also what it doesn't say.
Yeah.
The limitations in it. And what can you conclude and what you can't conclude? Yeah. And you can tell that irrespective of who is in the room. Yeah. So Klaus, after having this raving review from Aziza, maybe you can speak a little bit to what you learned from her. We talked a lot about your relationship, and I can tell myself that I learned a lot from people around me, from supervisors, from mentors, from colleagues, and also from people that reported to me. So what was your learning experience in working together with Aziza?
Well, thank you for that opportunity. With respect to learning from Aziza, she mentioned that we took the time to give her the chance to get introduced to the statistics theory. And I have to admit, this is basic statistics, not very far advanced in the first place. But I think the fundamental things are very important. That gave me the chance to learn again, to recheck what I had heard learning years before. And that definitely, by talking to Aziza and trying to explain some of the basic concepts, I relearned it. And as any trainer know, you learn the most as a trainer because you really need to make sense of what we are talking about. And that's helped me a lot to really, and again, think about statistics concepts myself a lot. Also, I was impressed by her theoretical way of thinking, right, which was different to me. I'm not so much a theoretical thinker like Aziza is. And I think that impressed me with her. And yeah, we worked together in this case that I explained to her how is our manufacturing process going on. I often stress the linkage between the statistical concept and the application at hand in our product, in our manufacturing process, may it be properties of our product or may it be performance and process steps, so that you have to understand this here and where it has to fit together. And sometimes you have to have special ways of doing things. I would like to add one thing to the talk of Aziza, which came into my mind a few minutes ago. Or a few things on that. Aziza said I was able to stand up and give her time and support her. And there's one benefit I have in my organization is we are an old family work. Our company has something like between 500 and 1,000 workers, depending on time period. But the people in the organization, there are many people who, like me, have been very long together. And if you are very long in an organization together, you can only survive if you are honest and fair to each other. So that is a baseline for being authentic. So I am not afraid of speaking up to this group of people and saying my opinion, even if I know that I have a different opinion. I try then to understand in which responsibility they come from, if they are for another department. And for that reason, have a different responsibility of that they don't have. So I think that having this kind of alignment was also very good for me. And it gave me the chance to take time with Aziza and say, okay, you need some time to learn our product. You need some time to learn statistics. And I felt always that the success that Aziza and every other person in my group is in the having in their job is my success. I'm not telling that I made the work that Aziza did, but I am proud if I see that Aziza or the Mauti Weser present something and people feel, oh, that is great, that is interesting. And really, that was my focus as a supervisor, that I can proudly say, this person working for me has done something great, and even something I couldn't have done. So these are developed in the last 2 years of working with us, a framework about project management in manufacturing in 4.0, so in new data and big data, which is a topic of area where I still need to learn. I don't feel myself that to be really competent on that, because it's not the topic I learned in basic statistics when I was 30 years ago. She came up with a project work there and a project approach based on reading research papers and things like that, and watched something together with really a Christian saying, okay, I would not have done it in this way. And I really felt happy about that. It's she could deliver something like that. And that's for me. If you as a supervisor can develop that attitude, that you feel the deliverables of your people in the deliverables, so they are, it's their success, but you feel it as your own success yourself. But that makes it easy for you to then say, okay, I help you with developing into that direction. I help you to grow. So that's something I learned about myself a little bit more, having Aziza as the first newcomer into statistics, and now with Teresa, I've seen something similar going on. So that made me very happy about the work together with Aziza. And another environmental advantage I have here in my department, which may not be true for many groups, is because of my long experience, I'm a little bit a freelancer, something like that. But I have the chance to pick topics I would want to work on for the community of engineers which we are working to. So we have an organization with engineers in the mechanics and chemistry and ceramics area. And we train them to understand, to work with statistics, using software like Junk to visualize data. That's some important element where Aziza and now Teresa were getting responsibility for me to make people being trained in using these concepts. But really, if there's something very interesting, fascinating, strange, then I try to jump on that and help on that, where we focus on a certain topic to really make a great element. So this might be something which is very special that I was able here to get in my environment, and I don't know whether that is true for many people. Yeah, so because I'm here, being 30 years in my role, or nearly 30 years, I have a different, slightly different role in the meantime, but that really was something which helped me to be able to give her some support in her education in the early years. And that's something I see with other colleagues, other supervisors may not have that easily. And that was some answer to your question. We may follow up again.
Yeah. I love lots of things about this. I can really reiterate, if you teach something, you start to really understand it. I think it's one of these areas of learning where you become really conscious about all those different things. You know, there's a theory about learning that you have basically four stages. So first is you don't know what you don't know. And then the second is you do know what you don't know. And the third step is you know what you know. And then the last step is that you don't know what you all know. My perception is there's actually a fifth step, and that is you can actually train others on what you know. And that's a beautiful area to reach. And I completely agree, you can only do that by teaching. You mentioned one sentence very on a side note. And I think this is a very fundamental sentence. I help you to grow. If the supervisor has that mindset and the people in the organization, the team members understand, my supervisor is here to help me grow. And Aziza, you mentioned that also, that you have grown as a professional and as a person. That is a great relationship. Now, of course, we also work in a business. And I think it appears that you have found a perfect combination to combine personal growth, and also delivering business value and value for the business. I want to dig a little bit deeper into this because I think it is one of the areas where a lot of people struggle to clearly understand how they actually generate value to the organization. I think there's a huge misunderstanding that by working lots long hours, you would create a lot of value, or by producing lots of tables, you would create a lot of value. Now, you have a very different approach. First is you train others to use statistics for themselves. One thought that my listener potentially has is, why do you do this? Then you make yourself redundant.
Yeah.
What's your answer to that kind of thought?
Yeah. Sometimes you may be afraid of that. And I remember my first years, sometimes there was somebody from another facility as a statistician who did something very similar to what I did and who corrected me. And I was completely annoyed about that. So you may be afraid that if you do a ray of that, that is a human reaction, which is fair enough if that happens. Here in our organization nowadays, it's different. We have the engineers who need to work with data. Our company has a long tradition to say we are data-minded. We want to see data. And I helped them with, or Aziza helped them with using software like Excel as a first place, and then later on now with Jump, to make data speaking.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they are still not on a statistician level. So I really feel I am having them look, working with data. They are open to say, oh, data are variable, and they come up with new questions which are more difficult to answer. And at some point of time, then there is a chance that I can, with my team, into action and say, okay, this is really special, much help here. So that is really helpful for us. So I'm not afraid anymore of that because people respect us. I think that is if that would not be the case, if they would say, oh, I made my own statistics and I don't believe you, I don't know how I would react. I'm not saying that I may be really surprised or maybe different. One element with respect to statistics, what I felt as an element, and I don't know how you think about that, Alexander, when I see data and have people doing data analysis, I expect them to draw conclusions and formulate data conclusions.
Yeah.
I want them to do. If they just throw me grass and don't say anything to them, I'm upset. They can draw their own conclusions. But they have to say, from this graph or from this data statistics, I take this conclusion and want to do the next. If somebody reads it open, I feel that is a source of misunderstanding and not being authentic, because you ask the listeners to say, oh, what do I see from the data? And that was something for a newcomer like Aziza to learn. But you should not be afraid of making a statement. I conclude this. If it's wrong, you will get feedback, but it's nothing personal, it's just learning. So that's one thing I wanted to mention as something. And really, having people using statistics, using data, they become more confident over time and experts in their area of interest for their machine, their process, and that's great. What they really should do about using data a lot. And we have a lot of data systems. Recently, one thing which I feel will be becoming an interesting topic for us is we have since software what is Pi process data. You may have heard about Pi that is continually reading data like temperatures over time or so. And now we got a data connection to pull those data effectively into Jump and make them visible. And nowadays, the engineers show them just for today data and seeing if there's something odd in the problem. And now I think we have a baseline, a format to say, let's look at the data for 1 month or 2 months or 3 months ago to compare to today. Do I see something special which makes me understanding? So I'm working with data. I love to do this. I love to have the feeling that I have a feeling for data. If I see new data, I'm lost. If I don't have experience with them, and if I get the understanding, I had a feeling for the data and topic, that helps me a lot and gives me confidence. And of course, this is something I'm here for many years. So there are areas where I have a great confidence that I know something about the data already, even if I see the first new data. That might be very different in your businesses, which I cannot comprehend. Really, for me, that is also a fundament to be authentic, to being bold about having an opinion, even if it's on the risk that it is a wrong opinion.
I completely agree in terms of that you always should come up with a conclusion based on your data. I think for several reasons. The first is people actually want to know what your take on the data is, because based on your experience, your knowledge as a statistician, you will have a educated conclusion from it. And that is important. The second, and I think this is maybe even more important, is the data is not there just to produce data. The data is there to produce value, to make a decision, to make a recommendation, to solve a problem. That's why we have collected the data in the first place. And you need to clearly understand why this data was collected, for what purpose was it analyzed, so that you in the end can make a conclusion. And if you have that in mind, then you can really make sure that you create value for the organization. The other part, what I loved about this kind of training people working on themselves, that's another way to create value for the organization. Yeah? If you can basically delegate your work, automate your work, then you always create value for the organization, actually lasting value for the organization. Yeah. What's better than that some kind of tools work for you, that some kind of automated things work for you, or that people can very easily get the answers they need directly themselves without waiting for have an appointment with the statisticians in 2 weeks? That is all value. So I think having in the forefront of your mind how you can create value for the organization, that drives this behavior. Aziza, how have you learned to think that way when you were working with Klaus?
You mean in the context of
creating value for the organization?
Creating value through organization?
No, for the organization. Creating value for the organization.
For the organization. I think trust is very important. And I think one of the ways how I gain trust is, as Klaus mentioned, is by training, by providing training. I got close to my stakeholders. And I think, of course, in combination of being humble, honest, and also be yourself and not a teacher who knows about everything and the others are knowing not much and not in that way, but hey, I learned something and let me share about this. What do you think about this? And I think that created trust and I felt that being respected for that and sharing knowledge, being humble, being honest, being authentic, that all leads to having an environment where trust is the first value in the organization. And once you have trust, I think, and people around you can be themselves, we can be ourselves, and we are not afraid to share the story the way as it is and without filtering out the good things, without sugarcoating, then I think organizations will, and this will bring any organization values. Of course, the organizations can put a lot of efforts in really expensive trainings and really expensive tools and provide everything what they need, like in terms of physical and all this software context. But if there is no trust, if people cannot be themselves, then I think it will be very difficult. So what I learned is to be honest and create trust and just be yourself. And at the end, we are all humans. And I think we should first think that we are dealing with people and we are trying to improve the lives and not something temporarily. I want to grow in my career and I want to do my next step. So I think having a mindset of a long-term vision goal, it helps the organization to create value.
I love that you mentioned trust. I speak about this a lot, that if you don't have trust in the organization, it is really difficult to create value. It's especially difficult to understand where are actually the challenges, where are the problems, and how does the data even created? You talked that you work very close to all the different physical sites in the plant where data is created, and that is of course important. And having good trust with the people that create this data, that need to work with this data, that need to make sense out of the data, that is absolutely fundamental. And using training, I think, is brilliant. Yeah. Training has all the elements for you to build trust. The first part is when you do training, you get to be known. Yeah. Because you need to get people into the training and you need to convince people into the training. And so there is the first step. If people don't know you, you can't have an influence. The second is, you mentioned that people will, if they get the perception during the training that they really learn something, that you take care, that you are humble, that you want to understand where they're coming from or help them, if you really show that you care for the people, they will like that a lot. And through your expertise and then actually helping them, that builds a lot of trust. And so there is the thing, the action builds trust. So you can speak a lot of words, but if you actually help people, and might be just through a one-hour training, that builds a lot of trust. Thanks so much. We are already at an hour within this discussion, and I think we talked about a lot of great things. The first is that I think having this mindset around people development, people growth, is really important for people for themselves, that they focus on their personal and professional growth, and that they combine creating value for the organization with that. The second thing I think is if you have this people-oriented mindset, you will always learn something by teaching others. And the third thing is, by just doing that, you can create win situations, a win for the supervisor, a win for the team member, and a win for the overall company in terms of creating sustainable value. And I think making sure that others can do your work, or that you automate work, that is sustainable because it runs there even if you're on vacation. Yeah? How beautiful is that? You have done a job and it creates value even if you're on vacation. So thanks so much, Aziza and Klaus, for this great interview about your experience on being a supervisor and being a new member on the team, fresh from university, which, by the way, is also something that I find really insightful. There's so many companies that don't hire fresh out of university. Klaus, what is there any one sentence that kind of, or one takeaway that you have that you would like to share with the listener based on all what we have discussed?
Thank you, Alison, for having the chance to talk to you today. Yes, so nearing the element that you stressed about the chance that your team member gets a chance to grow, that is really, really important to me. Once I recognize that Aziza is smart and dedicated to learn and to grow, it was a pleasure for me to support her in this way. And I think that's what I like about, and also like about Teresa nowadays, who is in a similar situation, that you have the chance to get growing. I think that's really makes our life as a supervisor very interesting, fascinating, and great. And I hope that many teams will have similar experiences.
Thanks. Aziza, what is your key takeaway from our discussion?
Yes, so today this episode was about mostly, I hope, Klaus. And what I want to say is thank you, first of all, for making my dream true, Alexander. It was my dream to have Klaus on one of your episodes. And Klaus' example taught me that the true leadership transcends transcends titles and leaves a lasting impact on those around us. His example taught me to create partners and win situations in terms of not being connected to leadership with authority. For example, his example is for me, Klaus was for me more of a partner than a manager or supervisor, and that made my job fun and I was myself. And today with this episode, I celebrate Klaus' moment because people like Klaus, they impact our not only workplace, but they also shape our careers and also our lives and strive us to be better professionals, better colleagues, and above all, better people. Thank you very much. And let's keep learning, let's keep growing and keep inspiring.
Awesome. That's great final sentence. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.